everyone, welcome back to Relay, the Team GB podcast supported by GoDaddy. The final athlete has crossed the line at the Olympics, the last punch has been thrown and the final bell has been rung. What a games it's been. And this is our chance to catch up with all those competitors who made us clap, cheer and at times cry as we supported them from back home on the sofa. So for the very last time in the series, here we go. Hello, everyone, and welcome. I'm Vernon Kay, and I'm joined by Rhys James.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. Very emotional.
Very emotional.
We're never going to see each other again, Vernon.
I know. Well, you know what? We've bonded so much over this. We've never been apart since the first episode.
Exactly. Well, haven't left the studio, except I left briefly to chat to some athletes, but then I came straight back to you.
Thank you. We'll hear those chats with those athletes a little bit later on, but let's not forget, as always, we are joined by the legend herself, two-time Olympic gold medalist, Nicola Adams. Hello, Nicola.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Yeah, we're very good. However, I've got some bad news, Nicola. We can no longer call you the reigning Olympic champion.
No.
I know.
Brand new information for Nicola. Yeah.
But what do we call you now?
Well, seeing as I still am the first, it's got to be the governor, right?
Yeah.
All right. I like that. You're right. Seeing as I was the first.
And yeah. Second.
Yeah.
So how is the governor? How are you, Nicola?
I'm really good. Really, really good. I enjoyed watching the games as well. It was awesome seeing all those new sports as well.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I mean, Rhys, you're the kind of guy, and you admitted that you would literally embed yourself in your own front room watching the Olympic Games. Just give us a quick Rhys James overview of Team GB.
It went well.
There you go. There you That's go. All we need.
There you go. That's the expertise. All those hours I spent watching, and I've boiled it down to three words that aren't even particularly good words.
Yeah, we're fourth in the table, so we did exceptionally well. Nicola, let's get a highlight from you. Just a quick one.
Yeah, it was a lot more than what I expected it to be. It ran very smoothly and we won loads of medals. I mean, what more could we ask for?
Exactly. There you go. That's all we needed. What was your breakfast of choice whilst watching the games?
Oh, God, you know what? I'm not really a breakfast guy, actually. I didn't need it. I had the energy. I had the inspiration and energy from the athletes.
Well, that would explain your lovely light physique.
Well, exactly.
Nicola, what was your breakfast of choice whilst watching the Olympic Games? Because they were on bloody early.
Yeah, smoothie. Quickest thing to make.
Jam on toast with a cup of tea. That's all you needed. Because I think adrenaline took over with a little bit of a sugar kick from the jam. I was absolutely buzzing. Nicola, you mentioned some new sports. We've got to doff our cap, I think, to our youngest Team GB athlete, Sky Brown.
My hero.
In the skateboarding.
It was amazing.
It was brilliant.
It was absolutely amazing. Watching that at 3 a.m, it was incredible.
Yeah.
I loved it so much. And what I loved about, particularly about Sky Brown, is I watched all the heats and they were all good. They're all like pretty solid. But then Sky Brown was the first one who turned up and was just like, blew everyone away. And then in the final, there was probably like five or six of them that were doing that level of stuff that was incredible. And then she is my hero. My hero is a 13-year-old girl and I have to accept that, okay? I nearly messaged her the other day saying, can I buy your skateboard? Well, that's going too far.
Nicola, we mentioned the skateboarding. We've also got to mention, an outstanding highlight. It was Tom Daly in the knitting.
Yes.
I mean, all right, he won a couple of medals, but I think he's done for knitting what Tom Daly's done for diving.
Yeah. I know. I mean, I'm going to get big into knitting. I'm going to be knitting on my skateboard too.
That cardigan was unbelievable.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Nicola, did you have any hobbies that might be classed as a little bit of a weird hobby to have during the Olympics? I mean, you know, the governor, you set the pace, you set the standard. Did you have anything that you were doing when you weren't in the ring or in training?
Well, keeping it combat, it was the PlayStation for me and Call of Duty.
Oh, there you go. So overall, I think we're really happy. Fourth in the medal table. Highlights everywhere, be it on the water, on the track, in the gym, wherever we were participating. We threw down a showreel. It was absolutely phenomenal.
It was brilliant. Modern pentathlon was the one that surprised me the most.
Yeah.
I was surprised to be that into it, especially the last bit with the running and shooting, which is effectively Laser Quest. I was very impressed because they were just like, it's just, you've got to do those three shots with that laser gun really quickly. And then it's mad. And then they finish the race and they come out, they check the leaderboard and they have a hot dog. You know, it's exactly the same.
There you go.
And then their mum comes and picks them up.
Well, it's crazy that we finished this one, that
we're going to already talk about the next one. Normally after an Olympics, we feel a little bit down, but we've got only 3 more years to wait until Paris.
Yeah, and the fact is Paris, just around the corner. We could all just pop there for the day.
Exactly, just jump on the train.
Jump on the train, get to the Olympics.
Literally.
Yeah, or if you want to celebrate in style and get a little bit loose on the way, get the ferry.
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
And let's not forget, it's only 6 months to go until the Winter Olympic Games in Beijing. And Reese, is there a sport in the Winter Olympic Games that we can legitimately put you forward for?
I don't know. Maybe the luge. Maybe I'll get in on the luge. It just looks like fun, doesn't it?
It does.
It looks terrifying, but it looks like fun. I can't ski. I've never skied. Which will come as a shock to some of our listeners. I probably sound like I ski. I've certainly been accused of that in the past. But I've never skied.
Posh boy, get back on the slopes.
Exactly. Exactly. What I need is a really good 13-year-old girl who's great at snowboarding, and then I'll get really into the Winter Olympics. These seem to be my heroes now, because they lift each other up, the teenage girls. They all, even when they fall, they all go, oh, well done. Everything I've ever done wrong, everyone goes, ah.
Now, since the Games have finished, obviously all our athletes have come back from Japan. Nicola, you were in London 2012, so it was a little bit different, I guess. But what was it like coming back from Rio?
I think the biggest thing really was just getting used to the time difference again.
Oh, hang on a minute, Nicola. I'm not having that. Won some Olympic medals.
Nothing changed, really, except just, I was a bit jet-lagged. Yeah.
Nicola, come on, hype us up, the governor. Let me ask that question again. You've come back. You've reset your clock, Nicola. What was it like when you arrived at Heathrow, I would imagine?
It was awesome when we came back. We landed. There was a huge crowd there of all the supporters from Great Britain just coming out to see us. It was such a nice welcome home. It made you feel really, really good to be back and good to be British.
Did it make you realise that that's what all the hard work is for?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Especially being able to sit first class at the front of the plane.
There we go. Yeah, of course, you had the different plane rivalry, didn't you, where the gold medalists were at the front and then it got further back. Is that right?
Yeah,
gold at the front.
Gold at the front.
And then must try harder at the back.
Yeah.
Reese, you spent some time with our athletes since they came back at the celebratory event on Sunday. We're recording this as we speak after that event on Wednesday. What was it like? What was the atmosphere like? Set the scene.
Well, we were there. We were in the Hilton. We were all set up in a lovely boardroom, ready to chat. We had all our appointments in, all the legends that we've spoken to before. They were going to come and they were going to chat to me because this was on a Sunday. And obviously, as everyone knows, Vernon doesn't work Sundays.
Day of the Lord.
So, exactly. I was there. They wrote me in and I was there ready to chat to everyone. And the main takeaway from it was that I was wearing my Team GB bomber jacket. And I was there a little bit early, so I thought, oh, I'll pop down to the bar for a coffee. And then as I walked in, it was a big breakfast buffet. And the guy was like, do you want to come in for breakfast? And I was like, yeah. And he said, well, normally it's cost this much money, but as you're a Team GB athlete, it's free. Come right here, sir. Take a seat right here. And it didn't even cross my mind to go, oh, I'm terribly sorry. There's been some confusion. I just sort of flexed. I just sort of went like that and looked all hench and then went, yeah, I'll have a seat. Yeah.
You actually popped your chest out.
Yeah, I popped my chest out, even though he was clearly thinking this guy's in the shooting or something. There was no way he was... Yeah, I don't know what I don't know what he possibly imagined that I did. Yeah. I was like...
This gentleman's going to be skiing instead.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah, well, I doffed my top hat and I took a seat. And, you know, I had 3 trips to the buffet.
So, you know. A legitimate athlete.
Oh, I really used it. Yeah, I was up and down. I was up and down. Yeah. But I built my stamina up, you see.
He must be carving up for his next event.
Exactly. And then I thought, I mean, I was like, well, this is the best thing of all. Just like this is, like Nicola said, when you get on the plane and you're at the front and you go, this is what, it's all been worth it. I'm in first class. For me, it was, you've given me the jacket. I'm getting a free breakfast. This is what I've been building towards. This is what all my hard work on the podcast has been about.
So with a full belly, did you actually do any work? Did you get any interviews?
Well, I then went up and I've told this to every athlete that I spoke to who was then like, what? We could have had a free breakfast. What are you talking about?
Well, they didn't know.
They didn't know. Yeah, they didn't know. I literally took food out of the mouths of the TV athletes.
So you take your breakfast, you go back upstairs to your recording studio. And who was the first person that you got to chat to?
So obviously pre-games, we were joined on this podcast by Chev Clark, boxing heavyweight, making his Olympic debut aged 30. His story's been amazing because obviously he stopped doing boxing, didn't he? He got disillusioned with it and he started driving lorries for a while. And then he thought, oh, this isn't hitting the spot. So he got back into boxing and got his debut at 30, which is quite old for a debut in the Olympics. And he went and he was buzzing. It didn't quite go to plan. He lost in the first round on a split decision, which is agonizing. But he was happy to get into the detail, you know, talk us through his experience. You know, we were at the homecoming event by the national lottery. Everyone was buzzing about that. So despite his pain at defeat, he was in a good mood and we had a lovely chat.
It was a great games. Obviously, I didn't get the result I wanted, but it was great for myself and boxing because it's the best boxing result from an Olympics in 100 years or so.
Yeah.
So even though it wasn't great for me, I'm happy for my teammates and just, you know what I mean, over the moon.
You know, obviously you were unlucky. Mm-hmm. And then what happens after that? What's the process? Talk us through it.
The process after that is cry.
Yeah, okay, of course.
Cry.
Get it out.
But because of protocols, after you competed in the village, you had like 24 hours or 48 hours to leave.
And then you go home and then do you stay in touch?
Yeah, yeah.
And talk through it and stuff?
A WhatsApp group and you'd get a message when the guys are competing, when they're training, when they're going to eat and everything. Do you know what I mean?
Wow, so
in
detail.
You know what I mean? They're 8 hours ahead. So, you know what I mean? You could drop your little message in there or send them a message personally just to say you're still supporting. You know what I mean?
And did you stay up and watch, you know, because obviously it was a different time. Were you still on Tokyo time? Were you staying up and watching everything?
I'm not going to lie. I didn't stay up and watch, but I watched it in the morning.
Wow, unbelievable. And did you watch it with no spoilers or did you know the result? Were you watching it knowing?
I knew the result, but Lauren, Galau, yeah. Like, their fights were just great fights to watch, you know what I mean? And even though you know the results, you're on the edge of your seat. Like, I am anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course. Yeah, yeah. Why wouldn't you be? So it was your Olympic debut at 30. Now, what are you thinking now? Paris is only 3 years away. Mm-hmm. You thinking about that?
I mean, you're thinking about it.
I'm thinking about it. Yeah, I'm trying to get on the podcast.
They're thinking about it. Yeah, I'm thinking about it. We'll see what happens, you know. It was a great Olympics and it'd be great to do an Olympics with people there. That'd
yeah.
be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And have you considered, because we talked about this last time you were on, trying to find me a sport, right? Have you considered changing it up for Paris? Maybe me and you both go into the breakdancing as a double act.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know how smooth you are with the moves.
Not very. I mean, so. But you'd be doing a lot of heavy lifting.
But, you know, they've been adding a lot of sports into the Olympics. You know, they got climbing in there this time. Maybe we could put a bit of comedy in there next time.
God, I wouldn't make the team. Don't give me that. I've got no chance. I get knocked out by Josh Widdicombe immediately. We're here at the homecoming concert by the National Lottery. Are you looking forward to it? Is there any performances in particular you're looking forward to seeing?
I'm very much looking forward to it. There was a gentleman downstairs, I don't know what band he was a part of, but he came in. He had all the swag and everything. He had a big GB jacket on his back. And he was like, yeah, rockstar, dude. I was like, okay, I want to see him.
You want to see
whoever
that is.
I don't know who it is.
Whoever that is.
I want to see who it is.
God, though. I hope it's Greg James or someone like that.
He's got red hair and
all
that.
No. And that is Young Blood. He's called Young Blood.
I like the name.
Yeah.
Young Blood.
Yeah. He is doing a cover of a David Bowie song.
Okay.
So, you know, look out for that. He's the one singing Heroes.
He was feeling himself.
And he had the swagger, didn't he?
He had the swag.
Was he wearing a Team GB jacket?
He had a big Union Jack on his back.
Wow, okay. I'll tell you what he's trying to do, right? Because I arrived early and then I went to the restaurant on floor 3 and I was wearing my Team GB bomber jacket that was sent to me and they gave me a free breakfast because I thought I was an athlete.
Okay.
So that's what Youngblood's trying to do.
Okay.
Somebody's hungry.
So you're saying you're setting a trend out here. You don't even need to go to Paris.
Exactly. Yeah, who needs it? Just come to the Hilton. As long as you got the jacket, that's
you're
all
good.
It's about. Chev, pleasure to speak to you as ever. I look forward to seeing what happens in Paris and we'll stay in touch.
Yes, we will.
So was Chev positive about you wearing the bomber?
You know, I didn't want to wind him up too much. He is a boxer. So I didn't push it too far with Chev. But he was, I think he appreciated my initiative.
He's probably impressed that you actually blagged a full English breakfast.
Yeah, I think
let's be honest.
I think he was impressed by that. Yeah, yeah. He was less keen on my suggestion that we start a breakdancing troupe and enter the next Olympics together. But, you know. You got to try something, haven't you?
Yeah,
you
know, definitely. Well, as we've discovered on the relay,
yeah.
You know, if people go back and listen to the build-up to the Olympic Games, they will know that, you know, we have tried to kind of crowbar you into a sport, Reece.
Yes, yes. And I thought, what a perfect opportunity to finally start building my dancing troupe. Or maybe we just start a bobsled team. Maybe we do that and get in the winters. We only got a year, though. 6 months, even.
Nicola, you haven't I experienced disappointment at the Olympics, but I'm sure you can imagine what it's like from his perspective.
Yeah, it's always really sad as well, because when the athlete comes back and you know that they feel down, you feel down for them as well, because all you want them to do is win, you know, the same way you're doing. When that happens, we normally band together to try and boost the spirits as much as possible, and so that they don't feel left out and they don't feel like they're not part of the team, because I think that's the most important part, that even though you haven't won a medal, you are still part of Team GB. You know, you gave everything you had, and I'm sure if you could, you would have come away with a medal. So I think it's more about trying to boost their spirits and not let them get too down about it, and because he can always come back and win another one.
Nicola, obviously, how did you feel about Team GB boxing? We had our most successful overall year in boxing for like, what, 100 years or something like that?
Yeah, they did absolutely unbelievable. 2 golds, 2 silvers, 2 bronzes. Couldn't ask for more.
He said they had a boxing WhatsApp group that he was chatting to all the time when he was home, which mostly was just them talking about the meals they were having. Did you have a WhatsApp group going when you were in the Olympics with the boxers?
Yeah, we did. And it normally is pretty much always about food. Normally about the food that you can't eat and the food that you want to eat when you've finished the competition.
Right, so we go from Chev and we're going to talk to Sam Ward now.
Sam Ward.
Now, Sam Ward is the hockey player who got hit in the face with a hockey ball at 50 mile an hour. It smashed the left side of his face to pieces, broke his jaw, cracked his cheekbone. He's the man in the mask.
Yes. He didn't think he'd play again. And they had to take his face off and put it back. It's a proper superhero story, isn't it? It's exactly what you expect. And then he was a superhero. I mean, he scored loads of goals, got loads of assists. He had a great games personally. The team finished 5th, which is sort of tantalisingly close to a medal. It was a tough game against India. But Sam's a legend, as we know. He was more than happy to speak to us, catch up with everything going on, and to sort of tell us exactly what horrible state the mask is in.
No, oh, it's had a tough time.
Has it?
Yeah, it's very tough time. I mean, it's seen better days, let's say. It absolutely stinks currently. So, yeah. Yeah, I think I might retire it. I've got a spare one now, so yeah.
How long have you been back?
About 10 days, I think.
10 days. And this is still sat there at the bottom of a suitcase, is it? This disgusting mask?
Yep, he's still sat there chilling out.
Fair enough. Well, you know, you've had a busy time. Okay, you can't come back and immediately do some washing. What have you been doing since you've been back?
I'd lie if I wouldn't say that I've been in the pub and playing a lot of golf. So that is literally living the dream, I might say.
Yeah, fair enough. You don't have time to do any washing. What was the sort of atmosphere like when you're out there? We spoke to you. You were buzzing last time we spoke to you in the middle of the games. And you'd actually just been defeated for the first time. And you were still like, whatever, this is great. We're going to bounce back. And you did bounce back for a bit. And then obviously tough game against India. How did that feel?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things you've got a couple of views on many things. And I'd say, having been to my second Olympics, I've probably got a slightly different perspective on it all. And obviously losing to India and ending up 5th is obviously quite gutting. And we played so much better on that day and we deserved more out of the game. We really did. But like in the grand scheme of things and perspective, actually, we're ranked 6th in the world and we came 5th. Mm. We can't walk away too disheartened. I think we definitely have a lot of youngsters, bar me and a couple of others, so we can probably progress, and it's only 3 years to Paris.
So do you then take on a sort of, are you sort of like almost an elder statesman role in the camp then, in the group, having to pick people up who are doing their first Olympics, who are just gutted because you've got this perspective?
Probably yes, but then on the flip side, who's going to listen to me? I'm the class clown. Like, you're actually going to try and say something sensible for a change, Sam. So yeah, but no, I do think hopefully I can pick them up and kind of take them under my wing, and kind of, I think it's a big learning experience. I don't think people quite understand like the pressures of an Olympic Games until you've been to it. Like even me coming back from this one, I didn't feel the same pressure. But while you're out there, especially last time in Rio, like it's just a different pressure cooker that you're never going to really be able to practice for.
Right. How did this compare with without the crowds pressure-wise? Was that more or less pressure?
I'd probably say less pressure, but obviously a lot of people get a lot of buzz from a crowd. Yeah. And if you've all of a sudden got no one in the crowd, it does make a difference. Personally, I think after everything I've kind of gone through, I've hopefully got enough fire in my belly to be able to pump myself up for an Olympic Games game.
Of course, yeah. I mean, on a personal level, you've had the comeback as you said before, you know, even being at the, anything else is a bonus, because getting to the Olympics was a huge achievement in itself. You also, on a personal level, smashed it. You were getting goals everywhere. You got the goal in the defeat to India. You were getting assists, whether you meant them or not.
That thing, yeah, I started passing the ball. It's weird what this pressure does to you.
Exactly. Shooting from long range.
Yeah, I mean.
The yards.
I know, yeah. No longer just 2 yard tap-ins. Exactly. I think my combined shooting range, actually, bar one goal, was about 14 yards, the other four goals. So, yeah, big few weeks for me.
You've got to be happy with that. I mean, do you ever look at it personally into that sort of thing? I always wonder this with athletes and with sport in general. Can you get knocked out early, but like get a golden boot kind of thing and still be happy with it? Or are you just disappointed because you only look at it as a team?
I think it's a bit of both. I think it's an age thing as well. So like completely putting everything in perspective, I can kind of hold my head high that I've come back after all the challenges and to be there was an amazing achievement. But then to go out there and perform and flick the corners, slash the slap and tickles as well as I did, I'm pretty happy. Obviously, as a squad, it's collectively quite hard, but also I can put in perspective to them and be like, we have actually done quite well and put our game out there, and bar a couple of mistakes and bits and bobs, then we could be having a different conversation.
So looking ahead, you said before Paris 3 years, young squad, you fancy it?
I mean, I haven't come this far from the injury to not carry on three more. Yeah. So as long as the gaffer wants me, I'll stay swimming.
Oh, come on, mate. We saw those yards you've added. Yeah. Of course the gaffer wants you. How could the gaffer not want you? We know that you're going to go for Paris. You're going to hope to get selected. In the meantime, what are you going to be doing? Isolation games? Any more of those?
I mean, I would actually like to take it to the next step.
Okay.
And I would like to go and do them. So I think I've had an invite from Canoe Slalom to go and have a go at their sport. But I would quite like to go around the sports that I decided to mimic last year and actually have a go over the next 3 months, try and get in touch with as many of the UK sport governing like bodies as possible and be like, can I come and have
go
a go?
And have a go. Yeah. The out of isolation.
I'm thinking
games.
Of this, like this could be our chance to shine in the TV world. Like you could come and be like my commentator.
I know a good host.
Oh,
I know a good host who's sometimes available, but not today.
Yeah, he doesn't work Sundays, does he?
He'll be up for it if you pay his fee, of course. Yeah. Great, that sounds perfect. Me, you, Nicola could be there with her expertise.
Yeah.
So there's jobs for everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're putting money back into the economy straight away. Right. That's good to see. Sam, thank you so much. As ever, a pleasure to speak to you. And I look forward to you going for gold in Paris.
Thank you.
You got to be happy with me there, Vernon. I got you a job.
Well, do you know what? I'll be honest with you. I give my agent 15%. I think you're in for a slight eight there, my friend.
Yes, please. That's why I'm here.
You know what I mean?
Pitching you around. Let's get the cash. Come on.
Yeah. I think that's a good idea, though.
Yeah.
I think it's like bar sports are a thing, aren't they? You know what? You get a bag of crisps, a pack of nuts, a pint, and then you start, after a couple of pints, you start playing silly pub games.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
And that's essentially what Sam's invented.
Flick the mat up, try and catch it, the
exactly.
beer mat. You know, come on, let's get that. We could format that.
Oh, easy. And then we'll have Nicola on there as well, the governor.
Yeah, with the expertise. with the bar sports expertise.
Yeah, exactly.
Talking about the pressures of those moments, you know, when you're trying to flip the beer mat in a final. You know, stuff we can't understand. You and I, the layman, we couldn't possibly understand that feeling.
Exactly.
So it wasn't to be for Sam in the hockey this time around, but this podcast did manage to bring home some medals. And yes, it was this podcast that did it. Shall we speak to an actual Olympic bronze medalist? Please welcome Taekwondo's the one and only Bianca Walkden.
Hey. Yeah. This is the medal.
There you go. Lovely.
Looks a little bit goldy as well, so I can't complain.
You've turned the contrast up.
Yeah. Bianca, you did say at the time that you were a little bit disappointed, but the fact that you have come home with a medal is absolutely awesome.
Yeah, I was really upset at the time. Like, I was aiming for gold no matter what. And obviously when it did get taken away from me and I had to fight for bronze, it was really upsetting. But now looking back, coming home to me, family and friends, it made me feel so proud of it. And now I feel proud of myself because Taekwondo is such a fine margin sport and anything can happen in the last second. And just to come back with another Olympic medal, I can't complain.
Well, I think we should talk about that last second.
Yeah.
Because there was a slight element of controversy. Dare I say, or dare I ask, can you take us back to the last 20 seconds of that round?
Yeah, so with the whole fight really as well, the referee was a little bit harsh. I kept getting gamjungs. I think everyone knows what a gamjung is now in Taekwondo. It's when you get a warning. And I was getting a few for no reason at all. But to be fair, I was still quite calm. It was still such an intense fight. And then I finally got it up. I got it to like 25, 22 or something, or 22 or something like that. And then the last 3 seconds I went in and the ref started the game. I attacked because I was never going to go back, because I thought if I go back, he's just going to give me another warning. So I went in, I went to attack, and then I got grabbed and I got head kicked, and with the last second left remaining, and then the buzzer went and it went to 1 point higher for her. I think it was 25-24 for her. So yeah, in that little 1 second, it went from me going into the final, the Olympics, to I have to go out and fight for my bronze medal. So there and then it was just like, boom. So
how do you get your head in the right place to then go and regroup for that game? Because obviously you're so disappointed, but then you've got to go, you still got a chance at a medal. How do you do it mentally?
Well, to be fair, like inside, I was like, I don't want to do it. I only come here for gold. I don't want to do it. But then I remember someone said to me, like, you'll regret this more if you don't go out there. And then I didn't want to come across as like a sore loser. I wanted to come across as like, it's not just about the medal. It's not about getting gold, silver, bronze. It's not about that. It's about acting like a champion. And so then I showed like, no, I need to stand there and go out there, give my heart and soul and come back and fight for the medal. Because if I didn't get it at the time, I would have been more heartbroken if I didn't have a medal at all. So for me, it was more like, come on, I'd regret it more. So let's push it aside and stand there and be a champion that I'm meant to be. So
how long did it take you to let all that process go through your ears, between your ears? And did you have a quiet moment? Did you sit on a chair and put your head in your hands and just say, right? Or did you ring home, speak to family?
No. Yeah, I didn't speak to no one. I was more like, I was a bit blunt at first. I was just like, oh, now what? It was just a bit like empty. So then, and then I had a big cry. I let it all out, big scream. I was screaming down the place. And then I had a few hours. I got some food, got some pasta down me. And then I was like, come on, start again, warm up like I would have warmed up. And then I remember actually I seen the opponent. She was warming up on the other side of the ring and she was just like absolutely devastated, crying. And it meant everything to her as well to be at this position. So then I thought, come on, I'm not going to let this get taken away from me. I'm going to put my shoulders back. And then I went out and I did the job and come back with a medal.
And since we first chatted, I follow you on social media and it looks like your family have well and truly embraced your return with the old party in the back garden. By all accounts, rumour has it you went out last night, got a few free drinks from your fellow Scousers. So it's been a joyous time, right, Bianca?
Yeah, definitely. My family love it. My family love a good party.
We
were good one in the garden. Oh, they were absolutely unbelievable. Like, it makes me even more proud to do it for them more than anything, especially my mum and dad shouting no mercy all the time. But yeah, like to come back now and get a few drinks free, get a few things and someone say my name in the street is unbelievable. And just that support being incredible. And I can't complain. I love it.
Do you know what, Bianca? I've been dying to say this since you've come back. I like, you literally kicked ass and won a medal.
Thank you. It's an honour to hear that from the champ, honestly.
Bianca, the bronze is one thing, okay? Bringing back a medal is one thing. But we know on this podcast that you love a black, okay? You told us before, you love kit day, nicking all the stuff you can. So what's the best thing? Did you manage to blag anything out there? What's the best thing you came back with?
Do you know what was being... As the Taekwondo team, we didn't even go in the village. So we didn't get to take anything. We didn't get to see the duvets. We didn't get to see the beds. Wow. Taekwondo was like an hour away from the village. So performance-wise, it was easier to stay next to the venue. So we were in a different hotel outside the village.
And what's next, Bianca? Have you been back in the gym?
No, I reckon I'll probably go next week. I haven't done a single thing. I haven't kicked no one in the street, not, and I've done nothing at all.
Your Honour.
Yeah.
So I'll probably go next week to let it all out, let all the kicks fly in, and then slowly start back, because the next thing I'll probably do is the World Championships. I'm going to try and go and defend my title again one more time and try and be the first Taekwondo female to win 4 in a row ever. So that's my plan.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. And is there a chance that you could face the girl that you faced in the semis?
Yeah, I think there will be. Yeah, so we're in the same weight, but bring it on. I'll probably get in the last second now.
Yeah, let's hope so. And Paris, is that in your diary?
Yeah, I am. I'm going to give it one more go, no matter what. Go for gold, bow out, awesome. And give it everything I've got. So that's my last one, because I'm getting on and my knees are starting to hurt.
By the time, you see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bianca, thank you for being awesome. We really appreciate it. You've really illuminated our podcast, and we wish you all the very best for the Worlds, and then obviously for Paris as well. And I hope that this has been so successful that we might get a second series,
well,
you know, in 4 years' time.
3 years, 3 years.
3 years, yes, sorry. Well done.
Mike. Well done, the Nicholas. Second series gone immediately.
It was amazing to be on the show, and you were awesome. You've made me feel more special to be on it. And hopefully you can watch me journey go through to Paris.
Yeah,
and
there
is a second season.
Bianca, thank you very much. And finally, one big round of applause from us. Awesome stuff.
Thank you.
You're listening to Relay, supported by GoDaddy, the company that empowers everyday entrepreneurs. I'm going to miss saying that sentence, you know, Reese.
You're going to be saying that to yourself in the mirror every day. I know you have been.
Hey, I say GoDaddy a lot to myself in the mirror. Anyway, it's also the official domain name, website builder and web hosting partner of Team GB. Now, Nicola, when you came back from a Games, how long does it take you to get back into normal life?
It takes quite a while, actually, longer than you'd expect, because you've got the time difference. And just getting used to being around your friends and your family, because you've been away for such a long time, away from everybody. And then just being able to get back into the swing of things and be able to see everybody. And then I guess the whole of the nation has just been watching you on TV, and then all of a sudden you're back and you go into the wild, so to speak. And it's like everybody's just coming up to you and congratulating you. Like, oh, wow, like actually everybody was actually following the Olympics. But it doesn't really feel like that when you're there, because you don't see any of your friends or supporters or family. So it's a little bit strange when you come back.
I bet it is.
Mm.
I bet it is, because you're in a bubble, right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the bubble bursts, and then it's like, oh, back to normality.
Yeah, yeah.
Got to do things on my own now.
Yeah. I'll make my own smoothies in the morning.
Yeah, got to do my own ironing.
Yeah.
Anyway, Reese, where are we going next?
Well, I know that you all have been disappointed not to catch up with these two. It was our rowing couple. Or you could pronounce that rowing couple, however you want. It was Matt Rossiter and Polly Swan. Matt was part of the Coxless Four. Obviously, Polly was in the pairs with Helen Glover. Both came fourth in their respective finals, so no medals, just missed out. But it was great to catch up with them, and some things never changed, because they were still digging each other out, bantering each other, slagging each other off. And that is exactly what we want to hear from these two.
Yeah, so the accommodation was a series of like high-rise apartment blocks, and the British team's so big that we had one big block, and Polly would miss me so much, she requested
to
be on a sharing balcony. So we actually shared a balcony. No, by chance, I literally think by chance, both our rooms backed onto the kind of amazing view with the view of the Rainbow Bridge. And yeah, by chance, like our balconies like shared a bit, and we like would say hello in the evening.
So Matt would hassle me every night.
Yeah.
Oh, do you fancy catching
knocking
up?
Knocking on the window.
So one evening, let's go and watch the sunset, whatever. Then you're nowhere to be seen. So I was lobbing paracetamol at the window.
You were lobbing paracetamol. Yeah, like, I had paracetamol all over
my
head.
Oh my God. Paracetamol as well. It's what a modern romance.
Yeah, but it's really nice, like watching the sunset and like the amazing lights. And we both were like, wouldn't it be nice to actually go and visit Tokyo at some point?
Yeah, but this was
we'd
not possible.
Oh, we definitely have to go back. Yeah.
But I mean, it's great the thing happened anyway, because at points the Olympics was looking dodgy. So
the one thing I have been told is that you're booted out as soon as you get knocked out.
Yeah. Well, my race was before Polly's, the day before, but luckily my flight was 2 days after that, so I could watch Polly's race, and then you have people smuggled in beers.
It was like being 14 and having beers in a park bench. Yeah. I'm not kidding you. Yeah, seriously. Yeah. Watermelon Bacardi Breezer, please.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think, Matt, the first night you got a bit leery, I reckon. I got a message at like 5 o'clock in the morning, when I'm waking up, he's going to bed.
Really?
Good luck for your final.
Is that how it went? And I say this, having just joined us from a stag do. Mm. I mean, this is where you were last night.
Mm.
Are you a live wire? Are you a liability?
Well, I think it just happened that like the schedule was just like packed for after the Olympics, which is quite nice, because you obviously abstain from like late nights, beers, whatever for a series of months. Yeah. And then
now he's on a five-day bender.
But you basically like really look after yourself, like sleep well, eat well, drink well. And then
that's why he sounds like he's been smoking 60 cigarettes.
Treat yourself like a human dustbin. Treat yourself like a human dustbin. I just feel absolutely gross.
You've got to do that time off.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, Polly, you were competing with Helen Glover, just missing out on a medal, fourth place finish. So obviously you're going to be disappointed, but you still were both quite immediately kind of like, you know, it's been such a journey to get there. How did it feel sort of like at the very end of the race, sort of like the second you end the race? What's the feeling like in that moment?
I was heartbroken.
Yeah.
I think, do you know, it was actually the support of everyone afterwards that made me realise how special the process was. You know, the race itself was intense and it was basically like one long sprint from start to finish. Yeah. And we just didn't have the legs on the day, and that's really sad. But also, I guess you can hold your head high that you put yourself out there and did everything you could, right? But it doesn't take away from the fact that, you know, you've been dreaming of this medal and we really put ourselves out there in terms of training and everything. We like went for it because we only had from March till the games together. And the whole time it was about, you know, getting on the podium, winning the medal, you know, that we knew that's what we wanted. So I think that first moment I was just like, oh my goodness, you know, you kind of want to cry, right? But then afterwards, just all these messages of support and, you know, people even recognizing me in the street, which is for me a big thing. So I'm like, you know, just a faceless kind of nameless person in a boat kind of thing. And I think that made me realize, actually, no, this is not just about medals. And I think that for me, that was the most special thing. And now I think reflecting makes me feel, yeah, that the journey was definitely worth it. And it would have been icing on the cake to get a wee shiny medal and stand on that podium. But yeah, that's sport at the end of the day. And
of course, that's the way it goes.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can be very proud of it. And you were there, Matt, obviously. Were you actually at the event, or were you watching it? Did you have to, because of protocols and stuff, watch it on the screen?
Yeah, so my racing finished the day before Polly's race. And
he was hungover, as per.
Yeah. But it's hard, because my parents will watch, and they say, they're like, obviously you're nervous when you're competing and whatever. So I used to be a goalie in football. Mum said that the worst, when it's just her son in goal and that's it. But that was like my first proper experience of like feeling that kind of like nerves, like watching Polly's race. And then I was with a few other GB rowers, and it was like, this is like so intense. And then you were kind of in third for a bit of it. It's like, go on. But yeah. And then I was like, oh, I didn't really know whether to go and find Polly. I was like, I should go find Polly. Did. Gave you some weird hug because you were like half with it.
I was not really with it at all. I was complete baggage.
So when you asked how she was, completely baggage for a few hours and just like semi-conscious, just like wandering around the place.
I think when you like...
What do you mean?
You put yourself in the bin so much.
So you're sort of dazed?
Yeah, I was not with it.
It's like a almost 7 minutes effort as hard as you can. So some people do pass out or start being sick or whatever. So you like really emptied yourself. And it's very hot. So when you finish...
Not really made. The Scottish skin is not really made for the humidity and heat of Tokyo.
Sure, of course.
So I think I probably just emptied the tank. And then he came and found me. And I vaguely remember having...
That was so nice of you, wasn't it?
Wow.
On a hangover, come on, remember, Reece, Polly. On a hangover.
Oh, that, yes, actually. Yeah.
I must sound like hero? Some pisser.
You are a nation's hero for finding me with a hangover. No, so, I do vaguely remember being given a hug and just thinking, I think I'm going to be sick.
That's what the hug does to you.
Just got palmed away,
I was like, I'll just go that way.
But then later it was fine. We caught up properly afterwards. Yeah. That's nice.
And you must have had a similar experience because you also finished fourth.
Yeah.
Similar experience? Were you dazed walking around? Did you have the same thing?
Yeah, it's very similar. Like you put yourself, like, you go as hard as you can. You, like, empty the tank as such. And then you're kind of full with adrenaline and endorphins for the first few hours. Then kind of in the evening it hits you. You're like, oh, yeah. And after a race, I didn't really know how I felt for a bit. And then kind of gradually it kind of hits home. But much like Polly... Before the stag, I was at a wedding in Scotland, and if I'm honest, like really licking my wounds that we come fourth, like we're hoping to win, definitely to get a medal, and just felt quite frosty being at the Olympics, like felt like I'd let everyone down. Team GB did an amazing job of putting all the banners up in the accommodation. I just felt just a bit, not embarrassed, but just like, oh, I've let everyone down. And then it was almost like a blessing to be going home after 2 days. But then so I went to this wedding and one of my best buddies, Rupert, started speaking, the guy getting married, and his voice started cracking a bit teary. And then he was like, oh, there's someone, lots of people here who've made a lot of effort. There's someone here who's sacrificed so much. And I was like, oh, this guy must be a legend. And I was actually watching the Lions rugby match by my feet. And then it's like, oh, and it's Rossi, because I'm Matt, I'm Rossi to all my uni friends. And I was like, oh my God, it turned the rugby. And then everyone made me stand up. And then I got quite emotional. I had a tear in my eye. And then kind of all night, everyone was like, oh, making the Olympics coming forth is so amazing. Like, we've never met an Olympian. And I think when you're in the moment, you have to just totally normalize it. Just like, we train in day in, day out. It doesn't, yes, it's awesome to go, but it doesn't feel like this huge thing. But then, just chatting to all Rupert's family and all his friends, it's just like, wow, it really made me, you really, like Paul said, it's like more than just for your own like personal achievements. Like you do inspire everyone. And that was like really, really touching. And it actually like really helped me kind of like come to terms with maybe not achieving what I wanted to do, but actually like getting there and coming forth in the world. It isn't something to like be ashamed of.
Vernon, Polly was obviously very keen to point out to me off air that she's very disappointed that the promise of a dinner invitation round to your house had not yet manifested itself.
Well, they've only just got back.
They were suspicious that you're just trying to get to Steve Backshall, you know, and Helen Glover through your contacts.
I've been embarrassed physically, and I think it's mentally damaged me watching Steve Backshall in the gym, because he lives near us, or they did live near us. And this beast walked in and started doing one-handed pull-ups, and you just think, oh, mate, come on. And then, you know, he'll go to the corner of the gym and rescue a kind of a struggling puppy out of someone's satchel.
He's the perfect guy.
Yeah, he really is. I mean, he needs his own calendar, doesn't he? Mm. But yeah, there you go. No, it's not because of that. It's, you know, it's just time. We will sort it out. In fact, you know, we should have a soiree at our house with the team relay. Hey, there you go. We'd love that. My kids would love that. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome all the athletes that we've had on.
Are you going to host a whole big relay reunion?
It's only like, half a dozen?
Well, you've committed to it now.
Well, not officially.
They know it's on air. You've committed to it now.
Yep. It was an idea. I spoke out loud.
The Vernon K House Party, sponsored by GoDaddy. We'll all be there.
We'll brand the driveway.
We'll get a website for the party. Yeah. And then
you can only come in if you buzz the gate and say GoDaddy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
That's the password. I think I've been to that nightclub. Anyway, let's move on. We also spoke to Leah Williamson and Carly Telford on this podcast, part of Team GB's women's football squad. We heard how nervous Leah's mum were. Remember that, Amanda? That was during the games too. The squad did so well, but suffered a dramatic extra time defeat to Australia in the quarterfinals. I mean, we've spoken to Bianca, that last second kick to the face, which lost her the chance to go and fight for gold. I mean, these moments, Nicola, they do last. They do stick around, don't they? Like a bad smell.
Yeah, they do. And it's all you'll think about. The whole time after, you're just replaying it in your mind. Those, like, should I have done this? Should I have done that? What could I have done better? And I think the key thing really is to make sure that it doesn't consume you, because it can easily do that, to the point where that is all you're thinking about. There's a fine line. You've got to really find the balance of how much you do focus on the last competition and how much you focus on the future. I remember receiving a silver medal in the World Championships, and I absolutely hated that medal to this day. It was 10 weeks before the Olympic Games. I lost to Ren Kankan, the girl that I boxed in the finals of the Olympics in 2012, which I was happy that I righted that wrong. But it was because of that loss that I worked so much harder to make sure that didn't happen again.
Interesting. How often do you remove gags from your set?
Constantly.
Really?
All the time. Well, when you're training then. that's how much an Olympic mode I am. When you're training, actually, and
Curling comedic dumbbells.
Yeah, when you're doing all the workouts you've got to do to be a comedian, which is, you know, being on the motorway eating pasty every day. That's how you train to be a comedian. But no, when you're doing work in progress, you'd probably, like, if you're writing, say, an hour show, you probably write 3 hours of material.
Is it ever perfect?
And you boil it down. Well, once the show's... Well, the show can never be finished, which is a good thing, I think, which is that you're constantly moving forward. So you're constantly going, oh, I can tweak that, I can tweak that. Yeah. So really, a lot of comics record their stuff and then listen back to it, but I can't... For a podcast co-host, I can't stand the sound of my own voice. So good luck to all our listeners. Hope you've enjoyed it. It's been a lovely series.
We'll see you in 3 years.
I've been tuning myself out, yeah.
All right. So it's really been a mixed bag for the athletes we've been following on the podcast, but... It's time to bring in our last relay athletes of the series. Drum roll, please. They are gold medal winning sailors in the 470 class. Please welcome Hannah Mills and Ailey McIntyre. Yeah!
Come on.
Ladies, welcome. Bye, first of all, congratulations. How does it feel to land on terra firma holding those gold medals on, wrapped around your necks, I would imagine?
Oh, crikey. Bizarre. It's been such a crazy feeling, just really difficult to get your head around, I guess. And then particularly that feeling, maybe it's different for Hank, surely had one, but waking up my entire life trying to win a gold medal, and now I wake up like, oh, I've got one. Cool.
And where is it now, Ailey?
It's on my bedside table, so I can sort of roll over and be like, oh.
Every morning you can wake up and immediately see your reflection in a gold medal.
Oh. Yeah. Stroke my own ego, I like to think of
that. And Ailey, you could put yours now next to your dad's.
Jackman keeps saying, and I'm like, they're not having it at their house. I want it in my house. My mum's desperate for us to get a picture together wearing our medals, which would be quite cute.
Oh, that is. But make sure you do it with a nice background.
Outside the toilet, which is where his is hung right now.
Classic. Well, let's go back, shall we? Let's go back to Japan. Let's go back to the waters. Talk to us about the end of your race, because there was a lot of drama, or, well, 40 minutes worth of drama. Just talk us through the protest that happened and what it took, Hannah, for you to finally be crowned gold medal winners.
Yeah, it was a bit strange, to be honest, and not something either of us have ever experienced. But I think, to sum it up, the French girls lost their silver medal and got the bronze medal on the final mark because we had to give room to the Polish girls who were inside us, and that's just the rules in sailing. Basically, the red mist came down and they decided to protest us because they said we'd let the Polish girls go inside. And so anyway, yeah, we had to come ashore, go into a jury room, which is kind of like a court, essentially. And basically, you both present your case of what happened. The jury check out all the footage. And to be honest, it took all of about 10 seconds for the jury to figure it out and clear the protest and say it's all fine. And actually, the French girls came up afterwards and sort of said that we're sorry, we accept what happened, blah, blah, blah. It was all fine. It was really, really stressful because obviously it's the end of such a long, long journey and such a long week. And I think we were just emotionally exhausted.
Reese, you've been in court. It's pretty tense, isn't it?
Hey, I'm legally not allowed to discuss that. I didn't know there was VAR in sailing, though.
And not only that, they had us on speaker too. They could hear everything we were saying.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So good.
I know.
Wow. Just explain to us that scenario when you're told, yes, you are our gold medal winners. Hannah, what was that like? Just set the scene for us.
Well, to be honest, I knew it was going to be fine because I knew we hadn't done anything wrong, but there's still just that stress of what if. And so it's just like the floodgates opened. Aww. And the relief and the happiness and the excitement. And our whole team was there, all the British sailing team. And they just literally ran and rugby tackled us and dragged us into the water. And yeah, it was really, really cool.
Oh, that is so cool. And when you're having those emotions, are you thinking about friends and family and loved ones at home?
Not in those moments. You're just so wrapped up in that moment right there and then, living this excitement with everyone that's around you. And then, sort of after about an hour, you're like, oh, I want to speak to home. I want to talk to them all. And it's definitely sort of builds on you. It's so much emotion in that moment. You just can't think about anything else.
I can see Nicola deep in thought. You're having flashbacks, right, Nicola?
Yeah, definitely. Do you know what? It does that to you. You're like, all of a sudden, you just think, oh, hang on a minute. I haven't phoned anybody from home yet to tell them how I've won and how I've done and everything. Everything just kind of takes a back seat for a little bit.
Hannah, just quickly, what was it like to carry the flag at the opening ceremony?
Oh, that was insane. yeah, like that was another crying moment. Not when I actually carried it, luckily, but no, beforehand when I got asked and told, and Ailey was there and the sailors were there, and like Ailey just ran at me, and again another sort of dive bomb moment landed on me, and yeah, that was really, really emotional. I never in a million years thought I'd get asked to do that for Team GB, and yeah, just hugely emotional and such a proud thing to be asked to do.
And then celebrations wise, we talked a lot on the podcast about what happened in Rio when the gold medalists were placed at the front of the plane and those that could try harder were a little bit further back. Just explain to us, it's the best way to say it, Ailey, I know, but just explain to us what your journey back home was like with the anticipation of arriving back in England at Heathrow Airport with a gold medal wrapped around your neck. Why are you laughing, Hannah?
Because it was out of control. That's why.
Here we go.
Yes,
this
please.
Is why. This is the moment that you tuned in and downloaded this podcast, because we want the juicy stuff. Forget. We all know you work hard in the boat. This, that,
yeah.
We want to know how you let loose. We want to know how you let your hair down. You know, did you just raid the drinks trolley, or was it chicken or beef? Do you know what? Gold medal.
We didn't just raid the drinks trolley. We drank the plane out, apparently.
Oh, yes, please. Come on.
Yeah.
No, it was amazing. British Airways were incredible. A lot of our team actually came and joined us. And yeah, it did get a bit messy.
Hannah, after these games, you are now the most successful female sailor in Olympic history. First of all, were you immediately aware of that? How did that feel?
Yeah, I was immediately aware of that because everyone kept asking me throughout the week about it. And I was just like, guys, just hold on. Like, we've got so much work to do. To be honest, like, stuff like that is amazing and really, really cool. And I think it's incredible. But ultimately, like, this was about me and Ailey and what we achieved. And I'm so proud of what we did. And I'm so proud of Ailey. And it was just the most incredible games to be a part of for so many different reasons, not least because about 3 weeks before, we weren't even sure it was going to happen. So, yeah, we just felt so lucky to be there.
And of course, in Paris, it becomes mixed, as we discussed last time. So you're the last ever all-female 470 champions. I mean, that's a pretty big legacy.
I know. Reigning. That is quite cool, isn't it?
Reigning forever.
It's really cool.
Mic drop.
We're out of here. Yeah, no, it's really cool.
So does that mean that there's a decision to make before Paris? What happens now? Are you going to split up and go with a different partner? What happens? Just explain to us where it goes from here.
I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out if I'm going to go again. But yeah, we're split up. We actually, this weekend, had a moment where we were like, oh, when are we going to see each other again?
Well, I know a bloke who is really keen, willing, and more than able to participate in an Olympic sport. He's fresh, he's young, he's virile.
He's got a jacket with Team GB written on it.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know.
And crucially, he's available.
Yeah,
his diary is empty.
Yeah.
All right, well, it's just fire your credentials.
And he knows all the
terminology now. Exactly, I can do that flying bit. I'll do the flying bit. I don't mind going out and getting wet. I'm not tall enough, but I'll do the flying bit. And hey, if I wear the jacket, I might even get a free petit déjeuner. You never know.
Congratulations, Hannah. Congratulations, Ailey. We are all so proud that you could add to our medal tally and get us fourth in the medal table. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks, guys.
So, Nicola, Reese, that is it. The Tokyo Games are officially done. They're over. Mm. Fourth in the medal table. I think we can say it was a successful Olympic Games for Team GB.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was the best we've ever done in podcasting.
Nicola, in reflection from your experience of being there twice, how would you compare our performance in Tokyo to what you personally were involved in Rio and London?
They've done unbelievably well. I mean, to put up with the pressures that they've had to this time around, having COVID tests every day, they've had to deal with so much, not being able to train the way that they normally would prior to a normal Olympic Games. So they've done exceptionally well considering the circumstances. Unbelievable.
Was there a moment, Nicola, where you thought, where's my gloves?
Do you know what? There was. Because the girl that won the gold medal at my weight, I've actually beaten six times already.
Oh, there you go!
Come there on. You go. So you're thinking easy. You know, yeah. It is easy.
Like, so in your head, Nicola, you're thinking, oh, it's actually three.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, the governor needs to get the gloves back on.
Yeah. Nicola, it's been an absolute joy and a pleasure working alongside you. Your insights and your knowledge of what it's like to be an Olympian have really made this podcast shine. Rhys, thanks.
I've been here as well.
Yeah. But I think you and I have learned an awful lot. You know, hard work and training and dedication and commitment is really the key to everyone's success that we sport to.
I know, and that is a shame, isn't it?
It really is.
That is
it
a shame really to is. Find out.
Exactly. In the meantime, don't forget to follow Team GB on social media to keep up to date with all the news as we head towards next year's Winter Olympics and then on to Paris and the 2024 Games. We've got a couple of thank yous to the production team, Chessie, Sarah, Jeff, Toby and Rich. To both Ed and Luke at Team GB, to Kane, Paul and Molly for our visuals. Shout out to John Harvey, who penned our amazing athletes' poems. We loved those. And to Andrew and James at GoDaddy. But most of all, we'd like to thank Nicola, Rhys, myself. We'd like to thank all the athletes who shared their Olympic experience and their stories with us. And of course, you for listening. Relay is the Team GB podcast supported by GoDaddy and produced by TBI Media. For the final time, sayonara Tokyo and à bientôt Paris!